I am tired already. Oh, man, I'm exhausted. If you are in the youth group, we'll see you later. Have a great day. Oh, yeah, that's our sermon, the new This Is Core. In case you didn't get it, that was a really subtle one, right? That the topic today and next week. It's a short one. We're just doing 2 weeks here of Core. And what is the core of Jericho Road, who we are as a church? So that's what we're doing here. It's now been, I know, shocking, it's now been 1 year and 6 months since I was called to be the pastor of this church. Right? Crazy, huh? That's like, I worked that out, that's 18 months. Right? No. So in that 18-month period, we hired a new pastor, senior pastor. We adopted a denominational status. We wrote and adopted bylaws and governance policy. We moved into a semi-permanent facility. We hired a new children's pastor. We launched Jericho Roadmaps. We had our first on-site VBS. We sponsored a second missionary. We celebrated 11 baptisms and dedications, gave Pastor Jimmy a much-deserved raise, had 3 babies born, and a partridge in a pear tree, right? So we had all of that in the last 18 months. But I was telling my wife, it seems to me like way longer than 18 months. I'll be honest, this has been a lifetime right here, getting to know you guys. Because of the relationships that we've already built, they seem so substantial to me. Like, I can't imagine walking around and having my life without you guys in it. And so because of that, I was like, it's only been 18 minutes, but I feel like I love them so deeply. I mean, 18 minutes, 18 months. See, whatever, right? So, but it's been really great, these sort of 18 months. And like I mentioned last week that we're adding a couple of big pieces. Like we're switching out the roadmap. Jerry was saying the old roadmap sort of announcement. The new roadmap is there like 4 different standalone classes. And today we're offering Stop 1, which is our introduction to what this church is like and how to, you know, just that's our first sort of movement on our Jericho roadmap. You want to stop at the Stop 1. And so that's one of the big pieces that we're adding, how to use the roadmaps class to help guide people on in this spiritual journey. Establishing small groups, that was another big thing we announced, that we want it to become part of the DNA of our church, not just like, oh, are we going to do that once every few years or something? We want to make it a regular piece where people are getting creating relationships and growing together and that sort of stuff. And I had mentioned a mentorship piece that I think this one's the most cloudy. I don't really know exactly what God wants us to do with it, but I think God wants us to be in the mentoring business, mentoring and discipleship, that sort of stuff. And so after those kind of things are added, I know that it's been kind of some changes since I first came, and then we've added a little bit. After that, that's going to really round out our church. And so I actually wrote out, I have this calendar here. I know you can't see it, but it maps out what a year at Jericho Road would look like. When the small groups go and when the small groups are off time, we offer 3 sessions of 6 weeks, so 18 weeks of small groups. And then on the other side, we'll have like a Bible study that'll be available at church, not in the same time as the small groups. So you can go to one of those kind of things, and then has the roadmaps class on here. We have the parenting seminar that's coming up. Please sign up for that because those are workbook driven, and we have 4 spots left. If more than 4 more people sign up, then we're going to have to order more. So just let us know today if you're going to sign up for that. So parenting class here in the fall. And then in the spring, each spring, we're going to have marriage building and relationship building classes. And so those are kind of coming. And so that's kind of what Jericho Road is going to look like. We're going to have, at the end of this kind of build out, this is who we are, this is where we are, this is what we're doing. And so now after that, year by year, we just get better and better at the things that we do. And so really excited about it. Today, I wanted to spend some time looking at or re-looking at, actually, our core of who we are, which comes back to our mission statement. And I think it's really important to pause as a church and remind ourselves, like, what the heck we're doing, you know? And so today, there's 3 core things that I kind of want to mention. And the first is talking about our mission statement. And when I told my wife, like, we're going to talk about mission statement, she immediately sort of glazed over her eyes. She's like, oh, geez, that's so boring, right? And so, but, sorry, babe, call her out. I told her, like, we're going to do that. And then I said, what's the percentage? Don't cheat. Okay, no cheating right now before I even ask this question. I was like, hey, babe, what's the percentage of people you think know what the mission statement is at our church? And she said 70%. I was like, no way. I think it's like I was like being generous. I was thinking like 20 or 25% of the people of our church know. Like average church is about 10 and 20% of the people could say what the mission statement is. And so we're going to test and see who's right. So I'm sorry to be the doubter that I thought our church was at like 20%, like 25%. She has a high view of you. So let's see who's right. I actually hope my wife is right, but I'm gonna test you right now. So on the count of three, we're gonna say the mission statement out loud. Don't cheat right now. Try to whisper it to your spouse or someone else. You know, like so we're gonna do that on the count of three. Let's see if we know our mission statement. 1, 2, 3. Love God and love others. Did your neighbor get it right? Judgmental anyone? How could you? So that's that big banner when you walk in. That's why it says that. In case you were curious, that the huge banner. And then you may be asking, what huge banner? I didn't see one. And so maybe you should be aware of your surroundings when you enter a building and that kind of stuff. But so right now, our mission statement is love God and love others. It comes directly out of this passage of Scripture. Normally people call it the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it's found in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. So 10:25, that's actually our like door code upstairs. So if ever you need to go in the office. So, I give away the secret. Well, it's a secret to our church. We're only keeping out the other churches. So it's only a secret to them. So don't share it with random people. But there's, quite frankly, nothing in there that you could steal or is of any value. And probably some junk that if you took it out, we would really appreciate it. So I'm okay with giving away the code. I want to just read that passage. And on Friday, we have that praise, prayer, and proclamation. And we just read over a passage of Scripture. Now, it's not even going to come up on the board because I just want you to sit in it really quick and just listen to the Word of God. And I'm just going to read the passage which our church is founded on. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up and he tests Jesus. And he says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus replies, "Well, what's written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answers, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replies. "Do this and you'll live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, well, who exactly is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus says this, "A man's going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." He's on the Jericho Road. "When he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. And so too a Levite, when he came to the place where he saw him, he passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. When he saw him, he took pity on him. And he went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he took the man on his own donkey and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said. 'And when I return, I'll reimburse you for any other expenses that you may have.' So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert of the law replied, "Well, the one who had mercy on him." Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." And so Jesus answers this question of what are the most important things to do in this life. And the guy rightly responds, "Love God and love your neighbor as yourself." And then Jesus gives a parable to say, what does that look like? That looks like someone coming alongside someone else who's hurting and helps them out. It looks like the Samaritans were enemy. It looks like an enemy of the Jews. It looks like a person who, even though they're dissimilar, goes out of his way at his own expense to care for somebody else. The Samaritan guy helped the guy traveling down that Jericho Road. And so that's us. Like, that's the community of believers that we want to create, that we love God, and because of our love of God, we demonstrate it by caring for other people. Caring for people who are right here each Sunday, and caring for people who need it that are outside of here. That's the core of who we are as a church. And so that's the first thing I wanted to mention. I said there are three things I want to mention about our core. And the second thing I want to mention is I want to thank Al, actually, for that picture. Do we have that one? So Al actually sent me his photo. So I wasn't going to call him out, but I appreciate it, Al, that you let us use your body for that. And so I want to, what would it look like? So if I work out, it probably looks like that, right? Like, I never worked out, and I've never looked like that. But Al says when he works out, that's kind of like how it ends up. But what? Okay, you could take Al off there. That's too much, Al. Well, so what does it look like? What does it look like if I wanted to be that in the spiritual realm? Like, what would that look like as a Jericho Road member? So maybe not quite like that. But what are we? If I was winning at this Jericho Road thing, so what do you imagine, Pastor Sam? Is like this is like this great, perfect Christian, as if there's such a thing, right? What would that kind of picture look like to be winning as a member of this church? So what's your expectation of us? What's the end goal for looking like as a church? And so what do we envision for each individual here as a thriving, growing Christian? I think that's really important because if we don't set the goal, what we're supposed to look like, then how do we know if we've ever arrived? I don't know if you're at church now for your 23rd, 53rd year, and you're like, well, am I doing good? Do I look like I'm in shape, or do I look like I'm not in shape? Like, which do I look like? And how would I know? And so I want to tell you, I can and no one else can ever know or judge your internal relationship with God. Nobody can. And so this is not what I'm saying. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to guess as how your soul is doing to God, because only you and God know. The exteriors don't inform that. But rather, my attempt is to give you confidence that you are on the right path as a conscientious member of the church. Answering the question, if I were fully all in at Jericho Road, what would that look like? What would my life be like? And what would be the expectation of the church for someone who is all in? The first thing I want to do before I say that is I want to remind you that life is all about balance. God wants you to go to work. And he wants you to work really hard at your jobs. And God wants you to spend time with your family, just you and your family. And God wants you to rest. And God wants you to enjoy life. And God also wants you to be involved in your local church. I'm only speaking about one of those parts. See, if the local church ever takes over your life, then your life is going to be out of balance. We never want a person where the local church is everything and then all the stuff has fallen to the wayside, the other stuff, relationships, that kind of stuff. And some of us have seen that. In older persons that we watched growing up, maybe they give their life to the church and they had bad marriages and they had bad relationship with their kids because they were at the church all the time. And that would be unhealth, and that would not be the balance that we're looking for. So I'm only talking about one piece of the balance. The rest of the stuff you've got to work on as well. You've got to work on your relationships. You've got to be working on working hard at your job and doing a great job and that kind of stuff. And so church should never take over your life to the detriment of the other areas. All life is spiritual. But one portion of the life is your local church. And so that's the specific area I just want to talk about when I say what we're talking about winning. It's just in this local church portion, which is just one portion of several portions that are important in your life. So I would say winning starts with going through, at this church, going through the Jericho Road maps. So the first time we taught it, they went really fast. 4 weeks, 1 hour each, done. So we've expanded that so that they cover a little bit longer, so each is a standalone class. And so when you go through those, if you followed them properly, you're going to find that God will be building you and growing you and stretching you after each one of those stops within the Jericho Roadmap. So if you follow through on the covenants that you make in the Jericho Roadmaps and the challenges that come from each stop, then you're going to be winning. So here's what that picture looks like. And so some of you went through the Jericho Roadmaps in a quick way. It was all in there. It just went super fast. Okay, got it. And so here's what that kind of person would look like. And it walks through what the steps kind of are. The person, if we would say, is winning if you're confessing yourself to be a Christian, that they've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so you're like, oh, man, I'm almost there. Yes, you are. Here's our checklist. I know we like checklists. You guys are really smart persons. You like school a lot. And so how am I getting an A in this class? Okay, so you check the box. I'm a Christian. I've been baptized, and I've been faithfully following my membership covenant. So you'll remember this, or you might not. We have a picture of that. So you can. There was something like that, and you signed it, and you said, I agree to attend faithfully, to give generously, to love extravagantly. Something like that's on there, like where you attend and you give and you pray and you support the church. And so you're like, yeah, I've been doing that. I've been following my membership covenant. The person who's winning is involved in a small group. The person who's winning participates in one or two of our compassion programs that we have each year. And then I've challenged you to say every 3 to 5 years you go on a short-term mission. So that's the tough piece. So maybe some of you are like, yeah, I've been going to the small group. Yeah, I haven't done the compassion, or I haven't done the short-term missions. Well, that might be the next place for you to go to be even more fit here. And another piece that would be involved with someone who is winning here is that they would be volunteering or leading in some area church at some point. And lastly, that you share your faith with others. That's it. If you're doing those things, then you're winning. Now, I'm not saying that, remember, it's not about your soul. It's not about your marriage relationships. Those are all separate other things. But in terms of like the church, now, what kind of huge time commitment is that? Attending Sunday faithfully in small groups is really the attendance. Small groups are 18 weeks of the year. And so that's really what we want you to do. And the rest of the stuff, we want you to be out blessing and loving and caring and living your life and having great balance. So if you're doing those things, it doesn't make God love you more, though. And it doesn't make you better than the person who's next to you. It's just a picture of how you could maximize the tools the Jericho Road offers for your spiritual journey. Because each of us were created for purpose, and that purpose is most often expressed in the local church. Now, our church also offers like a bunch of other little things. You could go do this. You can go to men's fellowship. And those are really cool to be involved with as well. And they're kind of just add-on stuff. Some people like to work out a little more. Some people a little bit less. And so that's kind of what it would look like if you were winning at this church. And so the third core thing I want to really look at is, and I don't know if we really addressed this as a church ever before, this sort of message here, is one of the core pieces of health and one of the strengths that we want to have is not just to be great for today. We want to set up to be able to be great for tomorrow. We want to set up a legacy for Jericho Road Church. It's a core belief of ours to build a healthy, lasting church. That it's not like, oh, 6 months, where'd that church go? You know, it's not what it's like. We don't want Jericho Road to be just for a few years. We don't want it to bless those of us that are here. And then when our kids go off to college and they try to come back, there's no church for them to come back to. We want a church for our college kids to be able to come back to and to get back involved and grow and to thrive together. We want a church where a grandmother can worship with her granddaughter and see them on Sundays and share life with them. We want a church that becomes a pillar in the community, makes a lasting impact for God's kingdom. But in order to have those kind of things, it takes hard work and sacrifice, especially at the outset. In any time you begin anything, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a business, anything in life, whenever you start out, the starting of the thing is always the most difficult part. The starting of a thing is when the most heavy lifting happens, when the most sacrifice kind of happens. It's when it's the most painful is the startup part of stuff. But as I was thinking about it, I wanted to say I, for one, am willing to do whatever is necessary to build Jericho Road into what God wants her to be. I really do believe the local church is the backbone of every Christian person's spiritual life, and it's also the vehicle and primary tool in reaching the world for Christ. I think the local church is the place. I think so much that I've dedicated my life to building the local church, to being a pastor. But I cannot and I will not build Jericho Road alone. I didn't start this church, but God did allow me to come here and to continue helping the building process. Because I was thinking about our church, you all have done so much work. You've already demonstrated such a deep commitment to God and to his work in the local church. Like, you held this church together, even through some tremendously difficult and up and down and some really tough trials. You all held the church together. I've just been here 18 months. So I'm really thankful that you allowed me to join you, as together we can do something really great here at Jericho Road Church. I don't need to ask you if you're all in for the church, because you've already demonstrated by living through this for the last 4 years. I'm just saying that I'm all in with you, that I'm here for the long haul, and that I want to build something that lasts, build something of quality. Now, some of us, we're going to have to sacrifice a lot. Maybe Maybe it's giving, sacrificing so much and not even receiving the benefit of it. It's like something that when you build a college ministry, you sacrifice a lot for it, but there's not a financial gain that a church ever gets from a college ministry, right? They just eat, like, use, and then we get to use them to help in VBS, and that's kind of about it, right? But there's this, like, outpouring of money and time and investment in college students, and I think it's worth it, but maybe it's not a direct benefit to us. And I think building a church is kind of like that. Whenever you're building for the future, it's with the knowledge that it can't be really about you and just what you get out of it, but you're building for what this would look like in 10 or 20 or even 50 years. I think that we want to have a church that exists in 50 years. I want to have a church that doesn't disappear just in a few. So we've been talking about this in the leadership board, and in light of the legacy idea, the leadership board has voted to establish two new major financial goals and two new major giving opportunities. So just an aside before we do this, because I know that this is sensitive for a lot of people and it's super sensitive for me, anytime we talk about finance stuff, the governance document that we passed purposely placed all decisions about money, finances, and big vision in the hands of the leadership board, not the hands of the pastor. And that's a decision that I 100% support, because it can never be about the pastor. It has to be about our church together. And so I literally make zero decisions on any spending of any money. If I spend money, it's because it was budgeted and already approved by the LB and the membership. That's the only time I ever spend money within that category that's been approved. I don't have any other discretionary spending, and I'm so glad that it's in the hands of this capable people. So starting today, our board has established two major financial goals. They want to start a scholarship fund, and they want to start a building fund. So in terms of a scholarship fund, like, our church clearly and obviously, if you look around you, values education. They value higher education and even higher education and then the highest education, because we have a lawyers and master's degrees person and doctorate persons. And so we clearly value college education. And so one of the things that the board wanted to do is to set up an independent fund that will help persons who want to go to college but can't quite afford it. So set up a scholarship for college students in need of financial assistance. So that fund will be in addition and outside of our general budget. And it'll be funded just by persons who are wishing to fund that kind of thing, who that's a passion of yours. So if you love school, you're passionate about school, you want to see kids have the opportunity to be at college, then this would be a fund where you can give specific monies to. Information about eligibility and awards and the requirements, what that all looks like, that can be found at our website on jerichoroad.church later this week. It's getting uploaded tonight. And the second thing they wanted to do is they wanted to start a fund for a building. So the board and I believe that we should put in place a plan to allow us to actually purchase or build our own building. So currently our meeting place is determined not on ourselves, but on somebody else. So we have a 3-year lease here and an option for 3 more. But we would like to get to the place where we could purchase a building perhaps at the end of that lease. So within 6 to 10 years we're talking about. So just for example, a building this size and this kind of place, this building went for about $4.5 million. And to buy something like that, our church would need to have around $900,000 just to purchase the thing and several thousand others to renovate or that kind of stuff or whether we're building. And so the LB estimates that we should set a goal for about $1.5 million to be saved within the next 10 years. And if God calls you to donate to this fund, then that's awesome. We'll have maybe a campaign in 6 months or so just talking about some specifics of what that looks like. But if we do the numbers, you know, some of you are number crunchers, you're like, oh man, we have about X amount of families. We have about 30 families to get to $1.5 million. You're talking about 30 grand a person, 50 grand a family, I mean, over 10 years, that's about a 5,000 increase in giving, or we increase attendance also as well, inviting people and other people catch on to that sort of idea and that vision. So that's what it's going to take, some incredible generosity to get to that place. I mean, some people, you know, aren't able to give a lot, and some are able to give more. And I know that it sounds like a ridiculous amount. It does to me. It sounds ridiculous saying it. It sounds like a ridiculous amount, but God is a ridiculous God. And so I'm not even worried about it at all. And so if you choose to give to either of those funds, I want to encourage you to make it above and beyond giving opportunity. So don't say like, well, instead of giving to the general fund to take care of the budget, I want to give to this other fund only. So in addition to your regular tithe, if God moves you to give generously, then go ahead and do that to one of those things. If you have any additional questions, especially about the money pieces, about either of those two funds, then I'm going to direct your attention to the leadership board because they're the ones who decide all the financial issues. So if you have any questions, they would love to talk with you about it. And a side note here, because I know some people may have thought about this, why doesn't missions have its own fund? Isn't it important, right? So that may be a question. Or why doesn't children's ministry have its own fund where it's dedicated? And the reason is this, because missions doesn't have its own fund because that ministry is funded as part of the general budget of the church because it's a non-negotiable. See, if we add to the scholarship fund and we don't have a lot to give to people, that's fine. If it's we give away $100, that's fine. Or if no, we don't give any scholarship. I mean, that's fine. It's an additional sort of piece. If we try to save for building and we end up getting $3,000, okay, it doesn't hurt anything. But missions is a non-negotiable. It has to be part of our spending. So our church has dedicated 10 to 15% of our budget to compassion programs to our missionaries. And so that's why it's not a separate fund, because it's an essential fund. Children's ministry is an essential fund. We need to invest in our children. And so that's why they're part of the general budget, not these other add-on budgets. So anyway, I know that, like, I was dreading all week. Like, this message is so unmessagey, right? It's, like, unbiblical. I read a little bit of Bible, but I felt like it was empty a little bit. And I have worried about it. I know you have to do stuff like this. There's a value to it. But as the preacher, part of me wants to be like, God, I just want to do the word all the time. And so I do want to share a little bit as I finish up here with just a bit of the word for you. And I was praying like, God, I just have like maybe 4 minutes or 5 minutes at the end. What do you want to say to the church? And as I was praying it, now I want to finish today by bringing it to the core of what is behind all of this, where the true strength relies. And you got to hear me on this because it's what God wants to say to you this morning. The Apostle John records this. It's super brief. We love because he first loved us. We can only love because he first loved us. God's desire for you is to experience his love. That's his first desire. Before we do any of these other things, God says, I want to love you. I want you to experience my love. And from there, then there's some other thing. But there's got to be that first. And so God's word to you this week is that he wants to tell you that he loves you. God loves you exactly as you are right now. Your mistakes of the week, your fight on the way to church, your worries that you can't seem to get rid of, all the troubles of life, God still loves you exactly right now as you are. Now, he doesn't want you to stay that way because he's got some great plans for you. He doesn't want to stay how you are, but he does love you exactly how you are. God has some amazing opportunities for this church as we love him and love other people, but only if we receive his love first. Don't ever pour out if you haven't first received, because then it's just you doing it. Then it's just you being religious and you earning your salvation. You got to receive first. Be open to saying, God, I want to receive your love. And then from that place, man, you can pour out love on other people. And you can pour it out back to God. Hold this close to your heart this week. Hear God's voice telling you, I love you. And then live from there. Let me pray for us. Father, the million things crowd right now. They tried to swamp our brain immediately after your word tells us to receive your love. The million other worries and doubts and struggles flooded back in and overwhelmed those words. And so I ask for clarity right now from your Spirit to speak exactly to the hearts of every one of the persons that are in this room that you love them. God, we have to sit here and receive that first. Having our core strong, building our church, that's really cool. Only if we can hear your voice of love to us first. My greatest desire for my friends who are here is that they could hear right now at the core of who they are, at the center of their being, they could hear your words, I love you. And our brain says, but I'm such a mess up. And God says, I love you. But God, I'm even tired and I don't even care that much. And God still says, I love you. No matter where you are, I love you. Son, daughter, I love you, says God. Would you receive that? And once you receive that, would you join us in song to Him?